This is our passage for today. It's Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I have a question for you this morning. You don't have to raise your hand or answer, but just to think about. Have any of you been carted lately? There are a variety of reasons people ask for your ID. In a store, sometimes you've got your credit card, but maybe you haven't done the signing thing on it or whatever, and they say, could I see your ID? In an airport or in some high security area, they may ask to see your ID. I suppose most commonly, in a bar or a restaurant, if you look like you might not be of legal age to be ordering an alcoholic drink, someone will say, "Can I see your ID?" Your ID verifies information about you so that you can do certain things. So today, we're checking IDs. We are checking IDs today in order to allow you, to enable you, to live in a really powerful and positive and productive way. Now, you probably are familiar, I know I've seen a number of these, you probably are familiar with studies that have been done in recent years, statistics that have been compiled that say that professing Christians are really no different than others, not much different at all than others in the way they live. And so people have talked about the divorce rate. People have talked about, probably about addiction, about cheating in school, cheating in the business world. And maybe you've read some other things where people have said, you know, the statistics show that those who say they follow Jesus and the regular population, there's not a whole lot of difference. I'm thinking that a big part of the problem may be that we don't know who we are. I think checking our ID and knowing our ID may make a real difference in this area. So I want to think with you about that today in a couple of ways. First of all, our ID says that we are dearly loved children. That's our identity. We are dearly loved children. Ephesians 5:1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. When a person knows they are loved, really loved, life becomes positive and can be very, very productive. I've been reading Brennan Manning's little book about God's love for us, The Furious Longing of God. Through most of his life, Manning has struggled with an addiction to alcohol. But he understands that his identity is a dearly loved child of God. And he has helped many others know and come to know their identity as well. Writing about the freeing power of love, Manning tells about Larry Mullaney. Larry was a student on the campus where Brennan Manning was teaching in the 60s. Larry was an ugly, unattractive, unappealing guy, extremely obese, full of acne. He spoke with a bad lisp. He had wild, unruly hair. Manning says he wore the uniform of the day, a t-shirt that hadn't been washed since the Spanish-American War, jeans, and no shoes. Manning said he had never met anyone with such low self-esteem. He writes of Larry, "He told me that when he looked in the mirror each morning, he spit at it. Of course, no campus girl would date him. No fraternity wanted him as a pledge." He told Manning that he was an agnostic. At Christmas, Larry went home to Rhode Island there with his father, with his parents, his father especially, who was a very prim and proper Irishman. Of course, they fought. They argued. They finally retreated to silence. A few days passed, and it was time to head back to the university. For some reason, Larry's dad rode with him on the bus. He had to switch to another bus, and when they got off the bus, six of his dad's co-workers at the textile factory were standing across the street. They began making loud and degrading remarks like, "Oink, oink, look at that fat pig. I tell you, if that was my kid, I'd hide him in the basement. I'd be so embarrassed." Another said, "I wouldn't. If that slob was my kid, he'd be out the door so fast, he wouldn't know if he's on foot or horseback. Hey, pig, give us your best oink." Those brutal salvos continued. Manning writes this, "Larry Mullaney told me that in that moment, for the first time in his life, his father reached out and embraced him, and he kissed him. And he said, 'Larry, if your mother and I live to be 200 years old, that wouldn't be long enough to thank God for the gift that he gave to us in you. I am so proud that you are my son.'" Manning continues, "It would be hard to describe in words the transformation that took place in Larry Mullaney. He came back to school, and he remained a hippie, but he cleaned up as best he could. Miracle of miracles, Larry began dating a girl. And to top it off, he became the president of one of the fraternities. By the way, he was the first student in the history of our university to graduate with a 4.2 grade point average. Larry Mullaney had a brilliant mind. Larry came to my office one day, and he said, 'Tell me about this man, Jesus.' And for the next 6 weeks, in half-hour increments, I shared with Larry what the Holy Spirit had revealed to me about Jesus. And at the end of those 6 weeks, Larry said, 'Okay.' June 14th, 1974, Larry Mullaney was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Providence, Rhode Island. And for the past 20 years, he's been a missionary in South America, a man totally sold out to Jesus Christ. Coming to understand that he was loved by his dad and his mom made a huge difference in Larry's life." Now, check your ID. 1 John 3:1-2. "See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Dear friends, now we are children of God." We need to understand. We need to really know and experience our identity as dearly loved children of God. It makes a great difference in how we see ourselves and in how we live. The love of our Father in heaven is of far greater significance and impact than any of the other ways we tend to be ID'd in life. Education, friends, finances, fame, looks, achievements, all of it pales compared to being a person dearly loved by God. Our Father in heaven wants us to know that He loves us furiously. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. As people who are loved extravagantly by God, we are to walk in love as we imitate our Father. Knowing that we're loved that way by the Father in heaven, we begin to be free to love in self-giving ways, even in sacrificial ways, like our Father. We have a new freedom to forgive each other. Check out the last verse of the previous chapter, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. As we follow Jesus walking in love, we remember that He said, this is how the world's going to know that you are my followers, that you are my disciples, Jesus said. It's by your love. We begin to understand that all of our religious nitpicking and even our really serious religious concerns, all of that take a way back seat to love. Paul puts it like this in Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Walking in love, we know that there are certain things that we will not do because they're not loving. Verses 3 through 7, rule out sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. Strong hormonal impulses gravitating to that which is impure and which is so prevalent in our day is overcome by our identity as dearly loved children of the Father. When we struggle to control our normal quest for pleasure, or we lust for more stuff, or just for more and more financial security, we remember that we are called to love like our Father loves. That's our ID. It's love. Check your ID.